KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies. It's 27 degrees, and we're looking forward to be partly to mostly sunny today, a high of 50, with winds out of the south at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In local news, Atlantic School District Superintendent Steve Barber Wednesday evening provided the school board with an update on capital projects and district needs for the future. Barber said the catwalk between the middle school and Washington Elementary is finally finished after being closed due to an accident earlier this year involving a truck.
As everybody knows, we struggle with getting our catwalk functional. We finally got that done, so I really want to give a shout out to all the staff and students for just kind of accepting the fact that we couldn't use it for approximately 9-10 weeks, and they were able to modify their schedule. So I really appreciate the cooperation we had in trying to get that completed.
With regard to capital projects, the first priority, he said, is to continue with the HVAC, or heating, ventilation, and air conditioning replacement cycle.
We think that we can get that done if we break it up into three different years, so three more years of that cycle, and looking at replacing the two larger units and a medium unit, because those are the ones that are getting worked the hardest in the building that have been replaced.
The two large units are above the high school gym, and the medium-sized one is for the office. The price would fall between $55,000 and $130,000, so cost estimates, according to Barber, would be a requirement. He said also Transportation Director Dave Eccles has applied for a diesel replacement grant for one of the district's buses.
I think if we get that, we would be foolish not to go in and get another bus if we can save $30,000, $40,000. If we don't, our bus fleet is in a pretty good spot right now, so not really urgent to have to purchase another one at this time. And the Volkswagen grant piece is going to come down the pipe, so there's going to probably be some more opportunities for you to get some grant money in replacing some buses.
An audit by a roofing company and the district's insurance company, Barber says, plus an analysis of the district's roofs, show that they are in good condition, but administrators feel that it will be important to begin a cycle of having a roof project each year. That, he said, can wait for another year. Barber said also the high school track needs to be repaired.
Currently looking at the extent of what that repair would need. It's buckling in a certain area, and the paint is not very sharp, so I think we would need to be looking at addressing that.
And in future meetings, District Technology Director Roger Warren will be presenting to the board his thoughts on a technology plan that includes achieving goals for implementation and costs associated with a three-year cycle. Barber said also they're looking at options to continue the transition to LED or light-emitting diode lighting on a continuous cycle until all the lights are converted to the energy and cost-saving lights. And finally, Superintendent Barber said he has inquired about the cost of replacing the parking lots with the high school parking lot a priority, since it continues to deteriorate. He said the best approach appears to be to remove and replace the surface so the base can be improved. That would ensure a long-lasting concrete parking lot. Discussion about those projects is expected to begin in December. Those talks would include the current budget for the PEPL, the physical plant and equipment levy, and SAVE, which is the Secure and Advanced Vision for Education, and the projected costs to each of the capital projects. Well, more than 200 delegates from the Iowa Association of School Boards, Member Boards, and Area Education Agency Boards gathered at a delegate assembly on Wednesday to conduct the annual meeting and determine the platform for their 2019 legislative session. Each board appoints one member as a delegate to represent their board's views. Among the four priorities approved, the state penny sales tax for school infrastructure remained a priority that school boards in Iowa support and urged the legislature to extend. Atlantic School Board member Allison Bruckner and ACSD Superintendent Steve Barber were in attendance at the delegates' meeting. During Wednesday evening's Atlantic School Board meeting, Bruckner said she had a chance to vote on the proposed legislative platform.
There were some really good items that came up for discussion, a lot of healthy debate done, and it was a good day. So it's very interesting to kind of hear from, what legislative platforms are out there and what they're looking for to support this year.
Superintendent Barber said during their discussions at the IASB meeting, one thing was clear.
Although there was disagreement, mm-hmm. The people that were in that room were very passionate
yes.
about public education.
Yeah.
IASB Board President Joan Corbin said this is the fifth year in a row that members have selected the state penny as one of their legislative priorities. time is running out for districts, she said, who are simply trying to reliably plan budgets. They need to know this funding stream will be around past 2029. Corbin said additionally, the state penny sales tax is a source of property tax relief, and if the legislature doesn't extend it past 2029, districts may be forced to pass bond measures to fund school infrastructure projects. Corbin said, we strive to keep the burden of facilities maintenance from impacting taxpayers in our communities, but these bond measures will increase property taxes. Elsewhere in the news, Governor Kim Reynolds on Wednesday announced appointments to Iowa's boards and commissions. Among the appointments of area people that are subject to Senate confirmation is Lisa Gokenauer of Logan to the Environmental Protection Commission and Matthew Wyant of Crescent to the Plumbing and Mechanical Systems Board. Those not subject to Senate confirmation include the STEM Advisory Council, with members Catherine Howell of Coon Rapids and Chris Russell of Omaha. The monthly Healthy Cass County meeting was held Monday in Atlantic and Cass County Public Health, and officials said the group discussed progress on the Cass County Health Improvement Plan as it relates to tobacco prevention in the county. Additionally, they submitted an application for the 2019 Healthy Hometown Community Award, powered by Wellmark. Four tactics were chosen, highlighting various health and well-being initiatives that occurred throughout the county within the past year. Those tactics included farm-to-school programming, locally grown foods, opportunities for physical activity, and community spaces for social interaction. Those tactics covered all three of the healthy hometown categories of eat well, move, and feel better. For more information on the local health and wellness events or resources, you can follow Healthy Cass County on their Facebook page. The winner of the largest ever lottery prize claimed in Iowa is giving a big chunk of money to an organization that helps wounded veterans. Radio Iowa's Pat Curtis reports.
Lorraine West collected a lump sum payment of just over $198 million after her Powerball ticket matched all the numbers in the October 27th drawing. On Wednesday, the 51-year-old single mom who grew up in Earlham appeared on the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
I've never been lucky before. The luckiest we got is my brother won a cakewalk in 1976.
Well, you don't need any more luck after this, and you're doing great things with the money.
On the show, West presented a $500,000 check to the Travis Mills Foundation. West explained how she set up a charitable foundation of her own right after winning the lottery.
The Kellum Foundation is named after my grandson who was born at 24 weeks and lived one day. So it's named after him to honor his memory.
West told DeGeneres the Travis Mills Foundation has a special place in her heart because her dad was a Vietnam veteran and her three brothers served in the military. I'm Pat Curtis.
And the Audubon County Sheriff's Office on Wednesday released a report on their most recent arrests. Last Saturday, they said deputies arrested 34-year-old Heath Austin Kroll of Mapleton. Kroll was charged with OWI second offense, open container, driving while suspended, and child endangerment. The arrest stems from a traffic stop on November 10th at the intersection of Mance Street and East Division Street in Audubon. Kroll was being held at the Audubon County Jail until Sunday morning when he appeared before the magistrate and was then released. At around 3:25 a.m. on November 1st, 28-year-old Cole Jacob Benton of Hamlin was arrested in Audubon County on an outstanding warrant for unlawful possession of a prescription. The charge stems from an investigation into a traffic stop October 24th. Benton was being held in the Audubon County Jail until the following morning when he appeared before the magistrate and was released. And on October 27th, 22-year-old Lindsay Michelle Dirks of Redding was arrested for driving while suspended. The charge stems from a traffic stop in Audubon on North Park Place. Dirks was held in the Audubon County Jail until posting bond and then was released. Well, two people were arrested in Creston recently. Authorities say 26-year-old Jonathan Decoder DeVore Vert was arrested a little before 3 a.m. today on a charge of domestic assault. Vert was being held without bond in the Union County Jail pending an appearance before the magistrate. And at around 3:35 p.m. Wednesday, 29-year-old Stephen Matthew Baylors of Creston was arrested for theft in the third degree. Baylors was being held in the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. That is a check for the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.